Hello, you wonderful woman. Welcome to the Love is Coming podcast. I'm your host, Persia Lawson, one of the UK's most successful love coaches, according to the Times magazine, and author of the book, Love is Coming. It's my mission through this podcast to help single women, specifically female leaders, get powerful, soul-expanding relationships that revolutionize your growth, impact, and happiness during your time on planet Earth. Let's get straight to it. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. So I'm very excited to introduce to you Sabrina Stocker, who is a tennis player turned top 10 Apple News and Forbes featured entrepreneur. Sabrina has built several successful companies and was a finalist in the BBC One show, The Apprentice. She's an international speaker. She's spoken in front of thousands at Wembley, the XL Stadium and London Olympia. And she is also the founder of 2, PR and helps her clients get featured in top publications. So she really does know what she's talking about when it comes to building a brand. And I believe I was trying to work out where we connected. And I think it was last year, at the beginning of last year, 2021, on Clubhouse, where I don't even know if that, like, what's going on with Clubhouse. I haven't been on it forever, but that's where I remember first connecting. Are you still on Clubhouse, Sabrina?
I haven't used Clubhouse in ages, but I loved it because it was so, you could so quickly tell if you'd like somebody and if you connected with them. And you're like, yes, okay, I'm going to talk with this person. Or otherwise you'd be like, and who else is there to chat to?
Yeah, yeah, it was. I think there were so many good things about it, but I felt like it took quite, I don't know, people, you know, people were in a different headspace when we were in that lockdown, I guess. So the idea of branding in relationship to your love life is, I think it's really interesting. And I actually look at this a little bit in one of my programs. So before we get into that, firstly, I'd love you just to share a little bit about how you personally came to learn and understand the importance of branding yourself in general, but also in relationship to romance.
No, I love this question. And I love that you cover it in your course as well. So I guess when it comes to branding, it's this, if you just go back to Mean Girls, right? We all love Mean Girls, and you were branded depending on what table you sat at when you went into the cafeteria. And as much as we don't like to think of it, we're very judgmental creatures as human beings, because we have to be, because we have to figure out, can we trust this person? Can we not trust that person? And it comes exactly the same when it comes to dating. When we have more online dating apps, when we have social media, we want to know that we can literally trust somebody because of relationships built on trust. And a lot of that comes down to what the internet tells us. So when you're Googling your name, would you trust that person? But also if you're looking to date, then are there desirable traits that you're putting out there that somebody might say yes to as well?
Yeah, it's, oh God, that makes me feel a bit sick, because when you Google me, there's a massive thing from the Sun newspaper talking about how I was a massive cheat and a nightmare. But at least it's like, I've been honest and it was in my past. But that is, it is true. It's like, what do you do now? Like, I have so many clients who's like, what the first thing they do when they match someone on whatever dating app and then they find out what their last name is, like, you know, over a chat, they will get straight on Google. And that's not something, in fact, when, like, yeah, it's not something I've had to do. I've been with my husband now for 7.5 years, and the world has changed a lot even in that time. But that is, it's how the world works. And even though we don't like, you know, I kind of struggle and I sometimes think that's so superficial, it is the reality. So yeah, super interesting. So what do you think, Sabrina, that business and love have in common? Obviously you were on The Apprentice, and actually before we even get into the question, how was that experience? I have to know.
Oh my gosh, I love your questions. They're so full of so many different fun things to talk about. The Apprentice was like amazing. It was so fun. And you know, if you ever feel like you're in a place where you just can't find someone, you go on a national TV show and I can promise you your DMs will be flooded.
Did you get some really weird ones?
Oh, I was, at that time, I got 500 to 1,000 messages a day on my Instagram DMs. It was insane. I had like 25,000 people on live with me. Like right now, I'll probably get 100, not 25,000. So yeah. It's that mass publicity. It's as visible as you are, you're then showing that you're a real person. And of course, then the level of traction that may potentially come from that as well.
Yeah. Was that really scary and overwhelming to suddenly be that visible?
It was kind of surreal, to be honest, because I didn't realize how much of an impact it would be. Like, I got onto the train, and at one end, this 14-year-old girl came up to me and she was like, "Can I have a selfie?" And I was in a business meeting, like all the way down the other end of the line. And the dad comes up to me and says, "My daughter just sent me a picture of you. Can I send her one back?" And I was like, it's so crazy. And what I'm really grateful for is the perception. I came across, I think, pretty well. I had less than 5 negative comments, which is pretty unheard of for The Apprentice. So for that, it was, you know, really reassuring as well.
Yeah. Well, well done. I have so much respect for you for doing that. I'm bloody terrified of Alan Sugar. That was just so brave, getting in a room with him and putting yourself out there. I love it. And actually, that even leads on to the question, like, what does business and love have in common? You know, I feel like I could talk so much about this, but I'm really interested to get your take, particularly after being on a show like The Apprentice.
I think really it comes to the ability to be able to adapt. Because when you're on The Apprentice, for example, every single week you have a new task thrown at you. And it doesn't mean that you've been trained in that task. It doesn't mean that you've got any experience. You just have to go figure it out. And it's the same when it comes to relationship. You like have your bubble of everyone that you've met in your life. And now you're going on dates with different people and knowing them more intimately. You have to very quickly figure out, is this the right opportunity for you or not? Can you trust this person? What's your gut saying? How are you able to adapt to the situation? If something new happens, then you're going to go with it, or you're going to change paths. And I think there's also the element there of being really confident within yourself in your own decision-making process, because you can't go on one date with somebody and expect to find your future husband. And if you did, I'm really happy for you, but you need to be able to figure out, like, okay, if I'm going to go on a date with 10, 20, 30 different people, I need to be sure of what I'm looking for. And when you have that certainty, you know it's going to be a sustainable relationship.
Yes. Oh my God, I couldn't agree more. And I love that. You know, I've never heard it said like that, adaptability. I've never thought of that even in relationship to relationships. I talk a lot about, you know, going with the flow and being open, but actually that is it, being able to adapt. And that's what so many of the women that come to work with me, they really struggle, because it's like they go on a date and they just freeze up, because especially if they haven't done that deep work, it's like you can get super triggered. If you've had a really bad breakup where you had a lot of shit growing up in your family life, and maybe you saw your parents going through a really painful divorce, and suddenly you're in either a relationship or a dating situation. And what you said earlier, it's like, it's about trusting, like feeling safe enough to trust someone. But ultimately what I always say is, if you can trust yourself, and it doesn't matter whether that's in a dating context or a business context, if you can trust yourself and remember that you can take your time and all of that sort of stuff, then you will be okay. The problem is when we haven't done that work on ourselves, then, you know, I don't just believe, I know for a fact, because I've seen it in my own life and obviously so many clients as well, that our love life and our business is only ever going to be as healthy as we are. Because it's always going to be a reflection. So, you know, even if someone is super successful in their business and makes a shit ton of money, if they are an asshole, that's going to affect their business in some way. Like, it is going to affect their business, maybe not necessarily financially, but the relationships with the people they work with, their team, et cetera. It, you know, it really does always come back to starting on you, with you. So I love that. I love that answer so much. Okay, so what happens when we don't pay attention to our brand when it comes to romance?
And I love that you've put the emphasis on us rather than on them. But also, when you don't put the attention, it's kind of, you get what you put out there in a sense. Because if you really, let's say you're really trying to find love, you're really trying to find that person that you want to share incredible adventures with and make memories with. How are you going to find that person if you're dedicating 1 hour a week to going on a coffee date or to going to dinner? How are you going to find somebody that you really genuinely care about if you don't put the attention there? So you've got to think of it as kind of your own project. If you were thinking, oh, how do I find this incredible man? What are the stages that are going to get you out there? Firstly, you've got to find clarity. So without finding that clarity, how do you know what you're looking for? Then you've got to find the time and figure out how you can find that. But without actually preparing and putting the time in place, you're just waiting for everything to happen to you. If you don't put yourself out in a position, you're going to find a guy's not just going to come to you. So it's really about changing that mindset of thinking, if I want to go get something, I need to create opportunities for me to have that. And a lot of the time, and I've experienced this with my own friends, is they don't go out. They don't put themselves in positions that they could meet somebody. They don't make themselves feel that they feel incredible. And because of that, they're never going to have the opportunity to meet the guy in the first place.
Mm. And how do you think then that, like, the concept of a brand, because when I think of a brand, and I know it's a lot more complex than this, but the first thing I think of is like the visual, you know, like what, you know, you see, I love that McDonald's is the first thing that came to my head. Those golden arches, you see those golden arches, you know it's McDonald's. So it's like that visual thing, that visual cue. And how important do you think that is when it comes to romance, how things look on the outside?
I think there's two parts here. There's your real person in vision, and there's also a second part, which is your online vision. So your real person in vision, do looks matter? I'm going to flip that question to anyone listening. If you're going to want to speak to a guy, does his looks matter? Yes, they do, because we still need to feel like we can trust them. Your looks aren't whether you get, you know, a little bit turned on from him, or you get that fuzzy feeling, or you think he's the best looking guy. It's, does that person look like he's respectable, that he cares about himself, that he could care about somebody else, that because of the way that he's dressed, he looks like he's somebody that I would want to go talk to. Is he approachable? Because when he has that presence about him and he has the energy that goes to him, you feel a lack of stress. It brings down the lack of, oh, like what's going on? And it actually makes him more approachable. And that's what you really want in a relationship.
That's really interesting. That's a really interesting way to look at it, because my next question was going to be, like, I wrote a book called Love is Coming, and the tagline is how to find real love in a superficial world. And what I talk about is, you know, let's be honest, we live in an age of social media, online, you know, it's everything. Remember the days where I certainly do dating, like online dating was so, like, it was seen as so lame. It was embarrassing. No one would do it. And now it's like, you're weird if you don't do it, if you're single. And I guess the flip side of the argument is, if we're putting, when we put so much attention on our appearances, then is it actually like hiding the truth of who we are? Like perhaps we're not feeling good about ourselves, and so we cake ourselves in makeup, or, you know, wear a certain outfit. Like, where do you think the line is between a represent, like, you know, making the best out of ourselves, I guess, and also, like, as well, being attracted to someone on base of their appearance, because that is the first thing that you see even before you talk to someone, and actually the sort of deeper, more intimate connection that you can only have from really getting, actually talking to someone, getting to know them.
A really funny thing my current partner said to me actually was, he's like, I love to go swimming with somebody because I can see what they look like without makeup.
Oh, I was going to say without clothes on. That as well, that's just a
thing. Well, there we go. And, you know, when it comes to social media, especially in the last 10 years, there's been an acceleration of a filtered life. We all know this, but how is that impacting dating? Because it's reducing the barriers to entry, meaning it's now very easy to meet somebody. We have to make sure that we're looking after ourselves. But if we haven't got to that stage that we're looking after ourselves because we want to look after ourselves rather than we want somebody else to think that we look good, that really comes back to down to our roots. Now, I look after myself because I want to look approachable. I don't wear too much makeup. I was a tennis coach, tomboy growing up. It's only since The Apprentice, actually, that I figured out I probably should, you know, learn how to wear makeup properly. But I did that for me. I didn't do that for anybody else. And no matter what I look like, if I've had a bad hair day or I haven't got any makeup on that day, I don't want my partner to think differently of me. So really it's about building that self-esteem and self-assurance that I look great as I can. Yes, maybe I want to add a little bit, but that shouldn't be the same as I want to put on and looks pretty for somebody else to be attracted to me in the first place.
Yes. And it's not about armor, because you know, and I think a lot of us, well, I certainly have experienced that when I was in very feeling crap about myself back in the days when I was an actor, and it was like makeup was armor, clothes were armor, everything. It was actually like a way to hide myself, even though I would come across as really confident. It was all bullshit because I was feeling shit. Do you know what I mean? And actually, you know, I really believe that ultimately we need to stop looking outside of ourselves for the partner we want to get and start looking inside of ourselves for the partner we want to be, because the most attractive thing about anyone is who they are. So if you start with that and then know that everything else is decoration and there to sort of lift you, but ultimately, you know, we all have our days where we're feeling ill or crap and we are not looking our best. But if who you are, if you've been investing in who you are as a person, in your heart, in your soul, in your relationships that are already here, even before your romantic one, then actually, you know, you always come across as attractive, because, you know, it's cliche saying beauty is only skin deep. Like, I think that it is true, but ultimately, as long as you're prioritizing who you are and how you are showing up as a person and realizing that everything else is just, it's like the cherry on top. Does that make sense?
No, it does. And I think it's really like key with what you just said, because if we're looking to be with our partner long-term, we're not going to always look like we did when we were 26, 27 years old. Yeah. When we're 35, we're not always going to look how we are in 45, 55. A relationship is much more than the outskirts of everything. So mm-hmm. really, when you have that deeper connection with somebody, you're also allowing and knowing that's going to be a sustainable big level. And you see a lot of older guys with a lot of younger girls. Mm-hmm. And you see this story over and over again. And maybe potentially it was because there wasn't that deep level of connection with their initial partner, which went way beyond looks. But of course, mm-hmm. looks are important to make yourself look approachable, make sure that you look after yourself, because health is a really big important part when it comes to actually attraction as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you said about, yeah, I, when I met Joe, he's actually a toy boy. I love me a toy boy, but only a couple of years. But he turned 27 the day before I met him, and I was 29, and now I'm 36, and he's, I think, 34, something like that. And, you know, I've never been with someone this long. And so it's really interesting looking back at old pictures of us and being like, oh my God, we were so hot back then. And, you know, I've seen us aging, and like, I didn't like struggle loads with it, but I've definitely felt it. Let's be honest. I have felt it. And what I realize is, you know what, that's a taste of things to come, because you're going to look back when you're in your, like you said, in your mid, when I'm in my mid 40s or 50s, I'll look back now at how we are now and be like, God, you should have like really embraced it and enjoyed it and made the most of it. But at the same time, I know, because both of us have, you know, we married each other, we got together because of who the other person was and the dynamic between us, and looks and everything else was the cherry on top. And so I know that that's always been the priority. And I think that, you know, when it comes to a brand, I said earlier that the first thing is always the visual cue, but actually the more I've worked in business, because I didn't really know anything about brand. I was an actor. I literally had no idea about business. But the more I've learned about business, is like a brand is so much more than just appearances. It's your voice. It's your values. It's what you believe. It's who you associate yourself with. Like, it's so much more holistic than I first realized. Could you speak a little bit more into that, like in relation to romance?
I'd love to touch into the online branding presence here, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of us do use social media and different dating apps to see if there's anyone out there that, you know, we might have something with. And I mean, the Tinder swindler, we were saying, just joking around before, but that's a perfect example, because what happened is you type their name into Google and Google says who you are. And it's the same with dating. Like, before you go on a date with anybody, like, I do not let my friends go out on dates unless they've Googled them and they've checked out the social media, because it's really important from a safety point of view, but also from that visibility point of view, that is somebody that associates different values with. Mm-hmm. And that's all about your digital presence, because if you're pushing yourself as, you know, a really successful entrepreneur compared to you going out with the guys on a Friday night and getting smashed, what value does that show to your potential partner? Now, but then maybe, you know, someone is really driven and that's a really good ideal. Or maybe someone actually really enjoys going out Friday night and that's a good ideal. But it's really important to actually think, who does this person stand for online? And do they care about what they stand for online? And when you start doing this for yourself and for other people, you're going to save a lot of time dating because you've actually put in some disqualifications before you've gone on the initial date as well.
Yeah. What would you say if someone's like, I don't have an online presence, as in I'm not interested in being on social media? Because I know quite a few guys and women now who that's what they've opted for. What are your thoughts on that?
I think there's nothing wrong with not being yourself online, but you still want to control your online digital footprint. And there's a big difference between it. So not being online means that you're not being found. And if that's a decision you want to make, then of course that's okay. But what if you could control it? So you could control what photos are and aren't out there. What if you could control one or two pieces of articles saying about what you've done? And just having a little bit there rather than nothing creates a lot of trust when it comes to dating as well.
Yeah, because let's be honest, whether you're on there or not, like, people are still going to Google you, and there probably will be something. And so is it going to be, you know, something from high school? I bloody hope not. Thank God we didn't have like digital phones back then. I don't think. No, we definitely didn't. Not so long ago for me. I can't even bloody remember. But yeah, it's interesting because I actually find, again, it for me, it speaks to value because I find that quite attractive. Like obviously I have, my brand is very online, but I find it quite attractive when people say, actually, I'm not really interested in being on social media, because if they don't need to, if they don't have an online brand, I totally understand why people would do that. But you are right. Like, people will still Google you. You're still going to be on there, even if you're not on social media, you'll be on there somewhere. So, okay, coming towards the end now. So what are three things that we can do to help brand ourselves for romantic success, in your opinion?
I love this question. All right. So how do you brand yourself for romantic success? If you want to have an incredible partner, then the first thing is you have to be an incredible partner yourself first.
Yes. Love that. Yeah.
And a big part of that is putting yourself in the other person's shoes and thinking, if this person was going to Google me, if I'm going down my feed for my dating app, what would they want to see? And start thinking it from their perspective. And maybe your brand is that you're a fun, loving, hardworking, social person. Does every single picture tick that box? And something as simple as that is a massive thing, because we are very judgmental and we want to make quick decisions. So how do we make it easy for that other person to do so? The second thing for your branding, if you haven't started Googling yourself or Googling the other person, maybe start. And a really easy way that's super simple and it's super easy to do is to actually put a personal website up on yourself, because that's going to rank number one, most likely if your full name's in the URL and the domain. And you could do it on Wix really quickly, one pager, who you are, just having everything there, especially if you don't want to put yourself out there. You should have a website, because that at least shows the other person a tick box when it comes to being able to trust you online. And the
That's good. I like that.
Because the thing is, like, you know, someone's going to do it anyway. So why didn't you control what's going to be put out there? And you don't have to put everything out there, but you can put out there what you want them to see. It's kind of an acceleration of your Tinder profile or your Hinge profile. And the third part is your brand presence. So if you want them to look a particular way, if you want them to present themselves, to have an energy, what can you do in yourself before you put yourself into situations when you're going to meet someone, so you're taking control in terms of how you physically are branding yourself as well?
It's funny, because I met my fiance, my husband. Yeah, weird. I met him at a festival that I was speaking at. Wilderness Festival, which is in Oxfordshire, and it was most beautiful festival. And we were actually like in a rave, like in the middle of this like valley in this field. It was amazing. And actually, it does just go to show that, like, you know, your brand attracts brand, because I'm a bit of a sort of what do they call it, a lipstick hippie, or so this is, you know, like a bit of a boat, like the boho chic aesthetic, but actually not just for the appearance, but that's kind of how, you know, I play guitar, I love traveling, like all of these sort of things that really, and he's the same, like we're same, but different, but we live life, we have very similar values, and we like doing the same sort of thing. So I think that goes to it, because my brand very much fits with festival and so does he. So, you know, I say this to clients, it's like, well, think about where you're, you know, going back to what you were saying earlier, Sabrina, like think about like, where are you hanging out? Where are you going, putting yourself out there? Like, if I was hanging out in some glamorous bar in the city, not to say I wouldn't have a fun, but it's probably not going to be my sort of guys there, like, unless it just happens to be a spontaneous thing. So think about, like, what sort of vibe is important to you? What sort of values? Like, where would that person hang out? And some people, when I ask them this, they're like, God, I've never thought about this. Like, well, what do you enjoy doing? Like, such a big thing. Like, how do you enjoy spending your free time?
Oh my gosh, I love this so much. That's such a gem. Because if you think about it, like, if you, for example, want to go to the city and you're going to, I don't know, like a really fancy bar, I can't even remember where everything in London is now, in Westminster or the Shard, and you've got some guy that you've met, okay, great. But if he spends 9, 10 p.m. at a bar in London, and that's where you meet him, that's his lifestyle. So for me, that wouldn't work because I don't drink. But if, for example, I love acting and I met them in an acting place, or I loved business and I met them at a business conference, we've already got that shared interest. So yeah. I love that story about you in the festival, because that's exactly, you put yourself, not only your brand there, but you've also put it in a brand of some location that you want to meet someone that fits with you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how so many of my clients, I have clients always say to me, you can only meet people online. I was like, that's bullshit. If you believe that, that will be your experience. But actually, put yourself out there and just stop, like, put your phone away, stop looking at your phone, look up, be open. And that energy, like, you will actually attract someone if you're putting that energy out there that isn't so closed off. I think the phone, it's like the best and worst thing that's happened for our romantic lives and many other areas of our lives. So we have to be really, really have boundaries around it and just be aware of our usage. Because I actually found it quite sad when I've seen people, like, in a bar or a pub, and they are, like, on a dating app talking to someone across the other side of the room. I'm like, get a grip and go and fucking speak to them. Like, what is wrong with you? It boggles my mind. But that's what the world's coming to. So
it's worrying, because it's become normal for the next generation to happen. Like, I'm very fortunate. I was always very outgoing as a, you know, a child, a teenager. But like, when we're on our phones, if I pick up my phone now, I'm closed off. I'm looking down. My energy is small. Whereas if you really wanted to meet somebody, and like, I'm very hardworking, and I think I'm pretty entrepreneurial, I'd go put myself in frigging the Four Seasons and be working with my laptop and have my head up, and every now and then just close my laptop and just see if there's anyone that potentially I'm going to speak to, because I'm creating that energy around me. So it's exactly the same as dating. And when it comes to the phone, do you really want to have a relationship with your phone or with a human being?
Yeah, absolutely. Tip from the top there. That's an excellent one. Love it. Put the bloody phone down. Okay. So the last few questions, I call these the home straight questions. So just quick fire ones. What love life advice would you give to your 15-year-old self, Sabrina?
Oh my goodness. I was like Taylor Swift at 15, honestly. I think there's a song when you're turning 15 or 16 or something. That was literally my song every day. To myself at 15, probably I would say to really figure out who I wanted to date. Because at that time, I was so young, I didn't really understand. The most I really understood about relationships was from what I learned at school and in rom-coms. We all can't trust rom-coms because, you know, they're films. So it'd have really been to figure out, like, who I am first and who I stand for and what I want to be known for. And what kind of partner do I want to attract? Rather than, in a sense, what I did was, oh, chase the guy who gave me the attention, because, you know, that wasn't the guy that was for me. So really, back to my own self, it's to focus on me and stop focusing on others. And then that way, maybe you'll attract somebody who's interested in you rather than interested in the idea of being in a relationship with age.
Yes, love that. Okay. What's one thing you, people hate this question. What's one thing you don't want people to know about you, or they would be surprised to know about you?
Oh my goodness. I'd probably say, if I'm going to keep it into the room of love, I would say I was probably a bit of a serial dater. So I went on a lot of dates, and I don't regret it though, because at that time I was like, okay, a lot of my friends are like, why are you going on so many dates? And my response was at the time very defensive. But really what I thought of is, if I just go on like 3 dates a week, I'm going to very quickly know if somebody is or for me. So I had this few months of just going on tons and tons and tons of dates. And because of that, I took a big break from dating. I was really certain what kind of guy was going to be for me or not. And they could be walk dates, coffee dates, like lunches and dinners, like nothing extravagant. But now I'm very reserved and I'm very comfortable in my dating life. I have an incredible partner. But that all became because I was able to experience going on many different dates.
Mm, I love that. And why not? Why bloody not? If you're single, doing that, but don't do it like I used to do, which was just jumping to bed with people way too quick because I felt crap about myself. Don't do that. But, you know, I like a PG date. Doesn't sound sexy, but coffees, walks, museums, like things like that in the daytime where you're not actually going to, because alcohol, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, you said you don't drink. And I always say to clients, really good for the first date, do not have a drink. See if you connect without the alcohol, because God knows how many men I thought I had a connection with, but that's because I was absolutely sozzled. Like it wasn't real, you know?
No, I feel it. And that's why I love walking dates. And, you know, I think especially when you're younger and you just want to, you know, go for a half an hour date, you can tell very quickly on a walk if you like someone or not. Like yeah. I didn't have time at that time to go to dinner. Like I was a student, I was working, like everything. But I can tell very quickly if I like you in 15 or 30 minutes.
Exactly. And also you're getting your steps in, and so killing two birds. And also there's something about being shoulder to shoulder. Like I actually, when on a date, I rather sit at the bar together where you're next to each other than, because sometimes facing each other is a bit intense. So great. I love that. Walking is a good one. Okay. So before the last question, where can people find out more about your work, Sabrina?
Oh, I don't want it to be the last. I enjoy this.
I know.
Probably on my Instagram. So sabrinastocker.r. And that's probably the best place. Or my YouTube as well. And you can check that out for Sabrina Stocker.
Perfect. We will get those linked in the show notes. So final question, Sabrina. What is your number one piece of advice for any single women who are listening, who are thriving in their career, but struggling in their love life?
I would say take a hard look. Just imagine actually that your perfect partner or your potential partner that you're looking towards is the next launch for your company. And what's everything that you've got to do, imagining that it's a launch and imagining that getting into a relationship is that launch stage. So if you think of it from a business perspective, maybe that could be, all right, now I have to get really clear on the objection. What do I want? Okay, I maybe want to be with somebody for a few months to see if there's a spark there. And then you can think of, okay, what are the clarity of who I'm going to be throughout this process? What's the clarity of what who he's going to be? What are the different habits that I need to develop? And actually think of it as a business plan to start dating. And when you think of it that way, it's not so scary.
Yeah, I like that. And actually, again, that's in my program that's around dating. That's sort of how we look at it is, and it sounds really unsexy and unromantic, but actually you'd be surprised how much it takes away the anxiety when you kind of look at it a little bit more like that. And it's not to say that there isn't the soul and the heart brought in a lot in there too, but you can just look at it in a bit more objectively. And it helped me stop taking everything so personally. Because I was like, you know, like in business, it's like, okay, that's just not aligned, or we don't have the same values. It doesn't mean I'm wrong or you're wrong. It's just, it's not a fit, and that's okay.
Yeah, there's this really funny story me and my CEO joke about. And I'm like, okay, if you're a business owner, imagine all the dates that you're going on are all leads, right? So they get qualification, you get to find out if you're interested. They get their first date, the second date, okay, maybe you're going to get a little bit closer, and you just disregard them. You don't take it personally. I even told you about one time just to make a list like you would in a CRM and just go through the qualifications, because that ideal lead, kind of like a partner, would be potentially somebody you're going to go forward with.
And to take it one step further, it's like, the more, you know, I used to be so scared of doing sales calls or whatever you want to call them. But the more you do it, the less of a big deal it becomes. And the more relaxed it's a skill set. Dating is a skill set and it takes practice. And so many people are so terrified that they don't even get in the ring. But it's like, honestly, the more you go on, you stop getting so stressed out about it, and then you relax more. And it's really from that relaxed place that you're going to attract the right thing in and the right dynamics. So brilliant piece of advice. Thank you so much, Sabrina. I could talk to you forever, but we have to wrap up here. Thank you so much. This has given me a lot of food for thought, and I know that it will give our listeners as well.
Oh, it's so fun. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really hope this episode served you and gave some practical insights and strategies around the next steps in transforming your love life from the inside out. Do come and let me know over on Instagram what resonated for you the most and why. I am @PersiaLawson. And if you want more tips and tools on how to become a vibrational match for the powerful, committed relationship that you deserve, check out my book, Love is Coming, as well as my programs and coaching containers over at PersiaLawson.com. This website is also linked in this episode's show notes. And if you got value from this episode, I'd be so grateful if you'd like, subscribe, share, and or leave a quick review. This helps the podcast rank higher so it can reach other women who want or need the support. And to have your question answered, send it over to podcast@PersiaLawson.com and we'll get to it ASAP. Until next time, I want you to remember that love is coming for you. But in the meantime, it's your responsibility to stop looking outside of yourself for the partner you want to get and start looking inside of yourself for the partner you want to be.